If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful. Welcome in. It's April 27th, 2025. It's time for your TNA Rebellion post-show. A pay-per-view coming so hard, you want seconds. I made that up on the spot. I've been so sick that I thought I'd open with something really good, and nope, didn't really work. But people here work with me, and they do really great work. As always, the one and only Cresta Star joins me. How you doing, Cresta? I'll start with you real quick.
I'm doing fantabulous. I'm sports entertained. I'm happy to see you and the beautiful Steven Jensen.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Good to see you as well, Cresta. And good to see you as always, Joel. I always really appreciate joining y'all on these pay-per-view post-show reviews here on the Fightful main channel. Good to see everybody here on the chat as well. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing, as always, you know, people's reactions to these shows, and not just from Preston, from Joel, but from also the people watching, because the eyes are on TNA Wrestling during these pay-per-view events. I don't know what people thought. I thought it was a really good show, by the way, right off the top. Like, thought it was a really good show. I was very sports entertained as well, Cresta. How you doing, Joel?
I'm doing okay. I got back from Vegas last Tuesday. I operated on 38 hours of no sleep.
Disgusting.
And crashed, woke up the next day, did in the weeds, felt like garbage. Thursday, crashed. Friday, crashed. Fever of 102 for 2 days straight. Was not good. I was sleeping most of my days. Thank you, Jeremy and SB3, for handling in the weeds. And thank you, SB3, for co-hosting the TNA post-show for the go-home on Thursday, because I was in no position to even look at my computer screen. I didn't sit down at my desk until Saturday afternoon. I was down out. Vegas is not a real place, but the things that will get you sick there are absolutely real. So I'm back. I'm good. I'm alive, and so are you. So how about we start by leaving a thumbs up on the video? Show us you're alive with a little bit of a thumbs up action, and you can subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. I always say, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you doing it? It's so easy. It's free 99. Get in on it, okay? If you want to support us with your dollars, you could do that with a super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. Volub immediately gets it and says, hey, man, I get it. You come strong, you don't come at all. Am I right? Am I right? Also, we can't give up the fact that Cresta made a taint joke in her little intro. We said taint. I saw it.
I love to be sports entertained. And also, shout out to everyone who started now using to describe wrestling: sports concern, sports entertainment, sports disgusted. I see y'all. I want my sports credit. So when someone asks you where you got it from, boom.
The one and only. And of course, FightfulSelect.com. That is our lifeblood. That is where we break the news. That is where you get your answers. Our Discord is live and popping. I told people at 2 o'clock this afternoon Eastern time, someone in our Discord in the TNA channel said, you know what? It's a predictable title change. They're going to give the Knockouts title to Tessa Blanchard. And I said, maybe not so fast. Folks, where are we right now?
Tessa Blanchard. I think I'm eating crow. I told SP3 I'd eat crow if I was wrong. So somebody fire up the crow machine.
Overall, it was a great show. And again, if you want to support us, go ahead. We always appreciate that. And of course, humperchats.com is the other option you got. Cresta, because you're here, because we're here, and because we don't do this as often as we should, tell them about it.
If you take your fingers on either your computer or your phone and you go to humperchats.com, you can put your dollar amount and we get to keep a little bit more. You get to put your comment and we'll read that. Myself, Joel Pearl, Steven Jensen will give you our 2 cents that don't make a dollar. And we're happy. Sean Ross Sapp is happy. And we get paid. And don't you want to help us get paid? Humperchats.com. I know you guys like to get threatened, or I'll pick you up and put you down aggressively.
It feels very aggressive. I don't know if I can really appreciate that as much as you want me to.
I could shake the camera next time for, you know, Kevin Dunn.
Gotcha. We'll be talking more about FIFA Select throughout the night because we did have some stories that came through on the show and little tidbits here and there that got us. But let's go over around the horn. I know, Stephen, you said that the show was a positive in your eyes. Give me just your overall thoughts. I mean, Joe Hendry retained. The big news, Trick Williams did make an appearance at the end of the show, but plenty went on. So just give me your candid thoughts overall about the show tonight.
So overall, top to bottom, I enjoyed the show. There was some stuff that I liked better than others. Obviously, that's going to happen. But, you know, I honestly think that all wrestling fans should at least take notice when TNA does these pay-per-views four times a year, like at the very least, because I thought the majority of these matches were really solid. I think it makes sense. We'll talk, obviously, more in depth about each match, but I think it makes a lot of sense to keep the title on Joe Hendry, considering all the buzz he has and how many new people know about him now after WrestleMania. Like, it makes a lot of sense, you know, for obvious reasons that they would want him as like the face of the company. And I also think that it makes Kazarian look like kind of a doofus to, like, you know, like, you know, to call your shot, triple threat. You're not even involved in the finish of the match. And at the very least, like, you could have called your shot and said, I'm facing the winner right after the match. And like, that would have made more sense. Or something, but so it was like a waste of the call your shot trophy, in my opinion. But you know, that's just some overall thoughts on kind of the bigger stuff before we elaborate on more. How about y'all?
Big old loser, 4-for-6. Kazarian drops call your shot. Cresta, thoughts on the entirety of the show, and then we'll dig right in.
Overall, I thought the show, to me, it was stolen by the Santana Ali match.
Oh, yeah,
that was
absolutely
the highest point of the show. And I hate to say that it was hard to get into other things because I was really sports entertained tonight. But this match, this has been the best match, the best build in TNA for a long time. And despite everything else that's going on, and dare I say, this should have been the main event. Oh, so, yeah, I was sports entertained. I will also give credit to the X Division Ultimate X match at the beginning. I was very sports entertained with that as well. I was very sports entertained.
I think before overall, go ahead, Steve.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, before we even get into it, I agree with Cresta 1,000% about the Macklin and Ali match. Oh, sorry, the Santana and Ali match. I apologize. Santana, that match was fantastic. And we were in our DMs, like, for this show beforehand, and y'all were hyping it up like before it even happened, and I was really hyped for it, and I thought that match was absolutely fantastic. I can't wait to talk about that one.
I'll get to my points on that one in a little bit. Y'all have heard me scream it from the rooftops, and we'll get there when we get there. But
oh yeah, I know where you're going with that.
Yeah. People hear me say it, and people repeat it on other shows, and you know what? Regurgitate my words. Tell the people what I'm up to. Don't just tell them about FIFA Select. That's fine. You can do that, and I love it, and I appreciate it. But if you can tell the people about why this crew is the one to talk about TNA with, why we're the ones, go ahead and tell them. All right. I thought the show was fine. I thought the show was good. I thought the show was fun. There were a lot of things I liked. There were some things that I think could have been tightened up, but that's pretty much any wrestling show. We're going to dig right in. I'm going to tell you about all the other stuff that's going on. Countdown. This is a two-match show. It was fine. Shout out to Matt Raywalt and his Pac-Man jacket. That was ruling. That was fantastic. I love it. Fatal Influence defeated Xia Brookside, Rosemary, and Laying Lee in the opening. It's a sick joke to make the former Xia Lee team with Xia Brookside to confuse me when my notes are going down. But otherwise, we're still playing evil will she, won't she with Xia Brookside. But Fatal Influence gets the win. I don't have much to add. NXT gets on the board first. I'll open it up, Cresta. Anything about this match that you want to say?
I didn't see this. So, Steven Jensen, what did you think?
I mean, it was actually a really solid opening match, to be completely honest. Like, I thought they went out there, they went hard. I like Fallon Henley a lot. I've liked her a lot since NXT Level Up, like when I was covering her for the Weekender over there. The Xia thing was confusing as well, because like the commentators had to basically say like Brookside or Lee, so like you knew who they were even talking about. But no, it was a solid opening match, and it wasn't surprising that Fatal Influence won, in my opinion. So yeah, good opener.
It's amazing to me that they brought in JC Jane. They gave her a banger match at one point on an episode of Impact. And I'm hoping that it transforms into more opportunities for her as a legitimate singles wrestler. That's all I'm going to put out there, because we see the way she works, and seeing her in the Fatal Influence stuff, not always for me, but she's proven time and again that she deserves more than she's getting. But that's something that a lot of us have beaten the drum on. Speaking of beating drums, Elijah decides to beat up his own guitar. It is what it is. Listen, if you're going to play Under the Bridge, just make sure the guitar's in tune. I get it. It's hard. You're out in front of an audience, the moisture and the I get it. I've been there. I've done it. I know. But also, like, Elijah doing the bit where he's playing guitar and singing songs, it feels forced as a babyface.
I honestly, so like, I'm obviously very familiar with when he was Elias in the WWE. And even then, and even more so now, I legitimately can't tell if the bit is that he's a bad musician.
Stop.
No, I'm not even kidding. Like, because like, it's so, you know, I'm not even a musician. And like everything you just said, like, I'm thinking that as I'm watching it, like it's out of tune. It's not on. I mean, I was like, but the crowd was into it and the crowd like plays along with it. So that's kind of, it's almost like a meta, it's almost like a joke within a joke, where it's like a lie. He's not a good musician. I'm not even a musician. You got to agree, Joel, right? I mean, I'm not crazy.
He's serviceable. He's entertaining. He's doing what he's supposed to do, but I wouldn't just put him on a stage in, I don't know, New Orleans over WrestleMania weekend and say, here, go play at this bar. And they did that. And it wasn't very good then either. It's not, and again, this isn't a knock on Elijah, the human. Like, he knows how to play. It's just not, it's a hard gimmick to do. Any musician who's ever done it, like, it's hard. And now you factor in the fact that wrestling has never been good at miking and producing live audio for artists. That stuff sucks. When I was at WrestleMania, they did the Living Color concert. I have not gone back and watched it live yet from the Peacock/Netflix airing, but I can tell you in the arena, it sounded a billion times better than any live wrestling theme played live that I've ever seen or heard. That's the first time I've ever seen it be good. That's been a long time that I've been watching wrestling, but Elijah's got to do it solo, one guitar, one dude. And the bit, like, again, I'm used to it from a heel perspective where he comes out and he's trying to get heel heat as, like, remember the Seattle Supersonics, right? Him and KO on an episode of Raw, like, did huge numbers for socials, blah, blah, blah. Now he's trying to do it as, you know, coming out and talking about the Astros and the World Series and banging on trash cans. And I'm like, first of all, we're very well past that. Second of all, how are you trying to get, like, what are you trying to get from this? It's not heat. It's not cheers. It's mostly ambivalence. It just didn't hit for me. And here's the fourth part. You want to talk about meta? Ever since this guy came to TNA, the only thing we've said is, when are you going to turn on Joe Hendry?
Uh-huh.
When are you going to fight him? When are you going to be a bad guy? And I'm sitting here, someone in our Discord tonight said, like, oh, everyone's waiting for Joe Hendry to turn heel, or to for Elijah to turn heel. And I said, I have a gorilla who wants to fight 100 people who says the same thing, has been saying something for a long time. Everyone's waiting for Elijah to turn heel. But anyway, tonight he takes on Shane Hayes, who comes out from TMDK, a New Japan pro wrestler, which we haven't seen since December when Kushida's contract expired. And it's notable because since the WWE partnership started up, we haven't seen any New Japan talent crossover. So Shane Haste coming over and making an appearance, loses the match, but I had a good couple of moments. They did the PK to the back of Elijah's back spine, but Elijah wins with the Highwayman's Farewell, which is a tombstone. Simple, easy. The Elijah gimmick just needs to be moved around. Cresta, thoughts, comments, concerns, I'll let you have the floor.
I will take it one step further with your critique of Elijah. There is a way to play your guitar and get heat and be a good guy, but you kind of got to run down the bad guy that you want to run down, whatever. That being said, you're also going against Joe Hendry, who just simply does it better right now. That's just the reality of the situation. The match itself was fine. I was predicting that Trent Seven would come back, but Shane Haste was a really good match. It was serviceable. It was fine. I just err on the side of caution, because it's like, when you were doing it before as Elias, it was cool. But Joe Hendry kind of does it better now. So you got to be that funny. And if you're not, yikes. And that's what he's suffering from at this point.
Jensen.
Yeah, Elijah with an old school and a tombstone. So, you know, Undertaker's a legend and might as well just do those moves.
Shout out to Shane Hayes, by the way. I did get to run into him at WrestleCon. Very, 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 very nice guy. I will say that. Definitely deserved the spot. So it was nice to see a little surprise. We open up the main show and the announcement is made. JDC couldn't make the show due to travel issues. So as a result, Moose decided, I'm going to pull double duty. So he's in Ultimate X, which opens the show. And later on, we'll see him in the six-man tag, which was originally supposed to be Myers, JDC, and Edward Edwards taking on the Rascals, Ace Austin, and you're going to have Sean Waltman in the corner. So instead, let's open up Ultimate X. Moose gets the win, defeats Leon Slater, Vikingo, Matt Cardona, Casey Navarro, and Sidney Akeem, formerly known as Reggie from WWE, for those who don't know. Sidney Akeem's been doing fantastic work on the indies. Shout out to him. Saw him all over WrestleMania weekend doing collective stuff. This match aired for free on the TNA Twitch. The TNA Twitch is back, Jensen. Our days are back.
Dude, if anyone from TNA is watching, one of the most disappointing things y'all have ever done to me as a fan was switching from doing the broadcasts on Twitch and letting people do the live streams and react to them. That was so much fun. That was a great era of TNA wrestling for the fans also, because it was like a community of fans all over the place on the internet. So I do miss those days. So, hey, I'm glad that they went back and attempted. I'm not the biggest fan of the Twitch at the moment, to be completely honest with you, but that's a completely separate conversation. But yeah, anyway, that's cool. That's good for them. I miss those days.
All I got to say is Mel Santos wasn't there to eat a chicken dinner in front of the computer while answering questions from the chat. So really, what are we doing here? And RVD and Katie Forbes are nowhere to be found, so the channel won't get demonetized again anytime soon. So it's good. They were making a big deal out of this, by the way. TNA went live on their Twitch again, I think for the first time, for the Chris Bay Benefit Breakfast. And I was happy and lucky enough to attend that in Vegas. And they were promoting it as like this big deal. And I was like, oh, they're back. Who let them back in? But it's nice that they're getting there. It's nice that they're getting their Twitch streaming back, and hopefully they can monetize it and make it into a thing. It was nice that they aired the Ultimate X for free there. Everyone in this match is freshly in this match because this is the 53rd Ultimate X, and everyone here, it's their first time competing in it. Absolutely insane. Couldn't believe it. The story here is Moose is afraid of heights, plays into the finish. We can go through the beat by beat, but really it comes down to Leon Slater, who goes up to the top of the truss, goes for a Swanton 450 off the top of the truss, and eats shit on the way down. Nobody is able to catch him sufficiently, and you see him, unfortunately.
Wow, there were 50 dudes there, which I don't understand.
He's still at base first, pretty much. Yeah,
I'm seeing Jordan Grace talking about, you know, physics and centrifugal motion, and I'm like, and I get it, because again, we're not the ones doing the moves. You try your best as someone in the ring to catch the person. You trust your partners here. It's tough, but either way, shit happens. Slater got back up. He finished the match. He went up to grab the title belt, scaled across Ultimate X, and as he comes down with the belt, Moose steals the win by spearing Slater. It was supposed to be in midair, but at that point, Slater kind of they were ambitious for the finish. Yeah. They wanted to have it so that Moose got Slater in the spear while he's in midair, so that Moose could then retrieve the title, win it without having to go after the heights. I saw what they were doing. I know they're going to cut around it when they tell the story through TV packages.
They already did.
They already did. There you go. And so I get it. But also, you know, again, ambitious, but you can tell once again, Cresta, that Leon Slater is next up. Maybe not immediately next up, but he is the guy that they are absolutely looking towards in the future. What do you think? Ultimate X had a ton going on.
This is one of those matches that I believe I was talking to SP3 that you got to start the show with it. If you want to set the tone about what TNA can offer, this is their flagship division, their flagship match. And yes, the TNA world title is important, but the X Division championship is just as important. One of my favorite spots was a destroyer on Akeem from Vikingo on the apron, from the pole. There was the AJ Francis spot where he held up Casey Navarro on his shoulders, which I thought was really funny. But the ending really made me upset because to me, the viewer, it is very clear Leon Slater has the belt and his feet on the ground, and then Moose spears him. I get what you were saying about what they were going for. And I'm like, okay, you guys have him win it in a one-off. But how cool would it have been to just let Leon win here? I think it was well worth it. I do. And I don't like to say this because I love Lish, but the Lish cheating is kind of getting out of hand at this point. Having her climb the truss to go across to grab the ultimate S was like, all right, I can suspend my disbelief for only so long. The system is approaching that line again for me of like, they gotta go. What did you think about this, Jensen? And do you feel the same as I?
Well, I think it made sense because of the thing about Moose being afraid of heights. Like, because it was like, okay, he's not going to do this. He's not going to climb the thing. So they're going to let Alicia go for it. But I get what you're saying about like the system in general. I thought the match itself was awesome. Like before Leon did that Swanton 450, he did something where he did like a poison Rana attempt to the outside, but like Moose caught him on his shoulders and like a power bomb, but then still got Hurricane Rana onto the stage or the entrance ramp. Like there was like really, really good stuff in this match. And also, by the way, not that anyone would think otherwise, but you know, I don't really blame anybody for not catching Leon Slater. Like they all obviously attempted to catch him, you know, it's just like the physics of it. I do understand also like the way he's coming in hot and spinning and they were just a little out of position or something, whatever happened. But obviously I know they tried to catch him, and he's such a beast for just like getting right up and like no selling it and just like moving on with the rest of the match.
Seriously though, that was the most gnarly part. It looked like he bounced and then got up, was like barely a flesh wound.
Yes. Yeah. Those guys are awesome. So great stuff. Good seeing Sydney Akeem. Like Joel said, he's had a great run on the indies, especially in GCW. He's only lost like one time in like the last year or whatever it's been. Vikingo has a lot of buzz about him pretty much always, but like especially now that he's appeared on WWE and stuff now. I mean, Cardona, I'm looking forward to seeing what's next for him because we all want him back in the WWE at this point, I feel like. So, you know, but it's just cool that he's still involved. Casey Navarro, I love his pairing with AJ Francis. I think they work really well together as like a big guy, little guy combination. Like I think it works really, really well for them. And I do think Francis has the best chokeslam in the entire wrestling business. And you know, Slater, like you are saying, he's the future. You know, he's been good since he was literally a teenager. He's still only probably like 20 or 21 now. I mean, he's gonna be a household name in wrestling. And Moose, man, not only this, but he wrestled later on in the show. I got a lot of respect for Moose. And that end of the match, you know, it just is what it is. Like, I think the commentary team played it off pretty well. Like, just talking about, no, you know, the refs can't look at this. It's final decision. You know, it was a split decision type thing. And to be fair, like, they can kind of play it off. Like, even though we saw Slater's feet hit the mat, he kind of like lost possession of the title at the same time. So like they can kind of get away with it. But I do agree with everybody in the chat and y'all, as far as like, we saw Slater come down with the title. It was a little mistimed, but I do appreciate what they were going for. They were trying to have Moose win the title. They were trying to showcase Leon Slater as like a potential challenger, which they did. He's kind of getting screwed out of the title here, which is going to help him too if he goes one-on-one with Moose later on for it. And Moose wins without having to deal with the heights, which was a big thing in the match to begin with. And he wins, you know, gets the title. So I thought it all worked out really well. And I'm a big fan of everyone in the match.
I'm seeing that some of the chat saying they really did play it off like football announcers. And it was like a fumble on the catch, right? That was kind of what they wanted to do. And of course, Moose being a former, I can speak, I promise, NFL player, they wanted to get it across that this former football player is not only a champion, but he could spear you out of your boots and make you fumble what you're after. I've said it once and I said it a million times. Winning Ultimate X is a great moment, but making your next X Division star in this case does not come with winning Ultimate X.
True.
Moose. And this was my big problem with Slammiversary last year, was having Moose lose the world championship without getting pinned as the final competitor in the match made the world title feel less important, because Moose had held that title for 2 years at this point. And therefore his loss, or not, whatever, like him dropping the title, it was just Nemeth won, but nothing really mattered with the Moose part. So I'm hoping that this time, And again, I know Moose is a very polarizing figure in wrestling. Some people have their feelings towards him. I understand that. When it comes to his work and the amount of work he's willing to put into being a part of this roster, he will make things good. And I think that's why I keep saying him and Slater going one-on-one for the X Division title, I think that's the move.
Yeah, I think they're going to complement each other really well. They have two very different types of movesets, and like all, pretty much everything about the two of them is like different when it comes to like their in-ring work and stuff, but I think they're going to complement each other really well. Like, I think Moose is going to be able to throw him around in like base form really well, and Leon's going to be flying all over the place and like chopping him down and stuff. I think it's going to be a good pairing between those two when they do it.
Yeah, they're there, and we've seen it before. They're going to match up again, and I think everyone's going to be mightily impressed. This was a bit of a sprint. Knockouts tag titles. The Elegance retain over Spitfire, GD Dolan, Tatum Paxley from NXT, and the Meta Girls. The Elegance is dressed up as the Playboy Bunnies because it's LA. I expected Laker girls, but you know, I'm just crazy like that. My favorite part of this whole match, before the match even started, was the taglines. How they tell you something about everyone and why they're in this match. And for the Meta Girls, they basically just said, they won some matches, so why not? They're in the match too. everyone else had a claim. It was like, one's tag team champions, one's the former tag team champions. The other ones have had TNA and NXT, you know, tag title opportunities recently. Meta Girls, yeah, they're winning. So they're in. Ariana Grace is on commentary. She's great. All eight women are just working hard. It's a chaotic match. I thought it was a lot of fun. Not perfect by any means, but they were doing everything. Now, here is where I got frustrated, and this is not a talent thing. This is a production thing. Welcome to my world. The switcher, the camera guy, not even the camera guy, the switcher, director, whoever it was, I don't know what the purpose was of having a wide shot when the person who's supposed to be interacting in the match as a surprise entrant, being Maggie Lee, you don't show her coming down the ring. And they showed her coming into the ring. And I'm trying to explain this better than I'm actually explaining it. So they do a wide shot. You see the whole ring and you see Maggie Lee kind of run down and try to hide. You're not supposed to have seen her, but because Tom Hannifin sees it, he has to say it out. He has to call it out. So whoever was supposed to get the shot, it was not supposed to be the wide shot. And so the switcher screwed it up. Eventually, you know, they just explained, oh, that's Maggie Lee, blah, blah, blah. What's going on? She helps the Elegances retain. Ash, it's rarefied air on Jody Threat. And that's it. Spitfire has been pinned twice now. It's over. Maggie by Elegance could be next. And I don't hate it. I'll put it like this. Cresta, we talked about this. Ash missed the last set of TV tapings. That's 4 weeks of television content because she went to Australia for another booking. Instead of having that problem again, you now have Maggie and Heather to possibly take over for that. So I'll get your thoughts on the Knockouts title match because I thought this was chaotic good.
Turn on Ash by Elegance and have it be Maggie and Heather by Elegance.
Okay.
At this point, because I'll be honest with you, tonight in this match in particular, Tatum Paxley and Heather by Elegance was doing most of the work when they were in for their teams, straight up. I personally was rooting for the Metaphor Girls. I think they've done, from what I've seen, I know the tagline was they've won some matches, but the matches have been pretty dominant. So I could absolutely see them making a claim for it. And damn, Spitfire. Damn, y'all, y'all not getting back, but maybe we keep them together as a tag team. Don't really see it happening, but maybe we keep them together as a tag team because the Knockouts Women Tag Division is in shambles. I feel like I really didn't see Gigi Dolan a lot. I feel like I could have been on the food coma because I definitely was eating food during this time. So I don't know. Either way, I have to give a shout out to the way that Lash Legend threw Heather by Elegance out the ring when all the girls were doing their dives. And she said, no, honey, you're going out this way. And then Jakara jumping off of her. Fantastic. I enjoyed this match. But at this point, the Elegance brand needs to do, it's time for a rebrand. And with Maggie by Elegance coming in, I think there could be a revolt. Because especially if Ash by Elegance is taking all this time off and has pretty much been on Heather by Elegance anyway. So jump her. I don't know. I wouldn't even know what we do with Ash by Elegance after that. So that's a half-baked idea. I don't know.
I mean, they love her there. And she's very good. I can't, again, I praise Ash by Elegance because I know that the story of, of Dana Brooke when she was in NXT. She wanted to do everything and anything. Was she the perfect wrestler? Absolutely not. But was she working hard to do her best and learn new tricks and new traits? Yes, she was. I think her run in TNA has been solid. I think her character work has been, it got better once they got her away from the Knockouts World title picture. Now that she's doing something a little more comedic, but also still in a championship, you know, situation, I think it worked a lot better for what her presentation should be. Jensen, I want your thoughts on the Knockouts tag title match.
I was with you as far as like the end of the match when the camera caught Maggie, but they mentioned it on commentary, so you knew that she was about to play a factor in the finish. But I did like the actual finish because it was like the Tower of Doom spot with like a bunch of the women doing like, you know, the powerbomb suplexes to each other. But Maggie grabs Ash's leg so that she doesn't go with the rest of the tower and then hits the rarefied air swanton, whatever you want to call it, off the top rope. And so I like the finish, but I'm with y'all when it comes to, you know, everything else. It was solid for what it was. It was a good way to, you know, get all these women like on the show, you know. At least that's also a positive because they're all talented women in that match. So
yeah, it was a really random match that they put on that show. And then I was just like, well, yeah. I know it's going to be fun. But again, they did a really good job of just kind of sprinting to the finish, and it was chaos, but it was more of a tornado tag. I enjoyed it. It was what it was. Let's move on. Speaking of chaotic and absolutely unexpected, the Rascals and Ace Austin, Rascal Generation Z. I don't know what they want to call themselves, but the cosplayers, they defeated Moose, Myers, and Edward Edwards. This was a good match. Sean Waltman was with the Rascals and Ace Austin. So let's just set the tone. Sean Waltman comes out. He's wearing his DX attire. He's wearing his DX Hall of Fame shirt underneath his track suit. The Rascals come out. They're dressed up as, you know, D-Generation R or Rascal Z, whatever. They've got the shirts that look like DX. And then Ace comes out and he's looking like Billy Gunn. He's doing an ass man gimmick, which is hilarious. At one point, they're all doing DX moves. Ace uses the Famouser, Trey uses Shake, Rattle, and Roll for Road Dogg. Sean Waltman gets in there with Alicia Edwards and he hits an X Factor on her.
A really nice one, by the way. Like, they nailed it.
Sean Waltman, if I know you ain't listening, but if you happen to catch this and somebody sends it your way, keep doing that, because you absolutely can keep going. And I don't want anyone to ever tell that man he cannot, because he brought it tonight. He was in there. He was hitting spin kicks on Edward Edwards. He was doing everything. They all clean. Hit Bronco Busters.
Clean spinning heel kicks.
Clean. Clean.
Yeah.
Clean. Can still go. Can still go. Ace Austin, by the way, Fightful Select reported today that he and TNA have begun talks towards remaining in TNA. We'd love to see Ace do his absolute best work wherever it is that he gets paid. Go over to FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 in the business, and we'll tell you more. But yeah, Ace and TNA have been talking, and hopefully it's been good so far. The hope is TNA retains Ace. That's what they would like to do. Spiral tap on Moose, and Wentz gets a clean victory. Moose is a big old loser. I mean, you know, in a good way. Oh no, it was the X Factor and the UFO cutter. That's what did it. I had the wrong part of my notes. So Moose versus Wentz is coming, because that's going to be an X Division championship match, right? Jensen?
Hey, I don't know if that's the direction they're heading, but I did like the match a lot. And the spot that you're talking about was the spiral tap right after they had all, maybe that was right after the Shake, Rattle, and Roll in the...
It was before the Famouser.
Okay,
gotcha. I misordered my notes.
But there was a lot of good spots in this one. It was a feel good match. You know, like I thoroughly enjoyed this. Like, I grew up in the 90s. I grew up on that era of DX as well. You know, like, I thought that the cosplaying served an actual purpose here. And they didn't overdo it to the point where it was like overly cheesy. Like, and there was a reason, because X-Pac is out there with them. And like we all were saying, he looked great. I mean, I can't remember how long ago it was. It was like a year or so ago when he actually wrestled Joey Janela. And, you know, he looked pretty darn good in that match, too. Like, he looks like he might even be in better shape now than he was back then. I mean, so, you know, and also what's cool about it, too, is Sean Waltman is a legit OG of TNA wrestling. Like, he was, you know, on those early TNA pay-per-views. So, like, it's cool to see him back in the company also as Six-Pac or Sean Waltman or whatever you want to call him. So, like, he's a guy who has roots in the company. I love the teaming with Ace Austin and the Rascals. And I thought the system did well too. Like, I thought this was a really solid match, a lot of good spots. And yeah, it was the, what does he call it? Like the springboard off the top into the cutter. You said it, the finish of the match.
UFO cutter.
UFO cutter. Yeah, that's sweet, sweet move. And nice finish there to the match.
Cresta Star, what are we going to do next with these people? Because they are all doing, we're all in the same orbit, these people.
I mean, I think there is a world, and I saw this in chat, where maybe JDC was the one who's supposed to take the pin. And let's say we do finish the story with Leon Slater and Moose. Your first challenger could be Ace Austin. Also want to say, shout out to TNA for giving me my instant gratification. Because I was so annoyed with Lish being involved in that last match. For her to get an X Factor, I was like, you know what? Equality. Like, get her out of here. Get her out of here.
You slapped him first. She instigated it.
She deserved it. Exactly. So you know what? Defend yourself. And I support women's rights and women's wrongs. So, you know, she got a woman's wrong, you know.
Well, it's TNA wrestling. I mean, we see men versus women in that company. Like, it happens.
Ghosts, it's not out versus of the... humans, demons versus yes. tag teams.
Yes, absolutely.
Speaking of ghosts versus humans, Steve Macklin defeats Eric Young. By the way, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Let's talk about it. The international championship on the line. Steve Macklin won the title at TNA Unbreakable in Las Vegas last week. This was a very surprisingly short match. It was a good match. I don't know what the expectation was from both men in terms of longevity of the match. Clearly, they're not done with each other. But Macklin busts his head early on. He does a missed Lope and just, I don't know what he did. He just landed on the floor wrong and cut himself open. So that was.
I couldn't see it either. I was seeing to look if he like caught the ring post or something. It didn't look like he hit it. I mean, obviously he hit the ground pretty hard. I mean, so, but yeah, that was gnarly. He went for that in the crosshairs, like a trio woe spear and just flew straight under. That was gnarly.
He got too much top speed. I think that's what happened. Like, I say that kind of like a joke, but the way that he hit, it looked like he might have bounced his head on something and it literally sliced the back. He had too much top speed on that, respectfully, because I don't want to take one of those in real life.
it's very funny with Macklin because he always eats shit on the scud that he used to do, which was the Lope. And for some reason, it was this time, and then it was a show at St. Clair College in Windsor where Cresta, you remember the show? It was a TNA Plus event where they kept having the signal cutouts and kept having the stupid sign pop up. Yeah. Whatever that show was, I forget what it was. It was during Macklin's match that it kept happening. But he ate shit going into a table and on the Lope. And he didn't get cut up nearly as bad as this. And it was night and day difference in terms of the damage and the destruction. But either way, Macklin busts his head open early. He's fine. He got stitched up. He's good. EY's elbow is still the prettiest, one of the prettiest in the game. Love when he hits it. Always looks good. They trade reversals. Macklin gets a surprise sit down pin, but of course we're not done. The Northern Armory comes in. They choke Macklin over the apron with the chain. This thing is going to keep going. How deep? I don't know, but the international championship, it's in the balance, but Macklin retains. Jensen, I don't know if you have much to put into this match.
I don't have a lot more to add, honestly. I mean, I thought it was solid, but it was a shorter match. And, you know, it's not like, I don't think anyone expected Macklin to lose the first title defense. They even mentioned on commentary, they're like, this has literally never happened in the history of our company that the inaugural champion has lost the first title defense, which, you know, maybe at some point they'll use so that it happens eventually. They'll plant that seed to make that happen. But I didn't expect them to do that, you know, to Macklin on his first. Macklin's also a guy who's been, you know, he's done a lot of really, really good work and worked super, super hard for that company for a while now. And like, you don't want him really lost in the mix. And this gives him something big to do with this championship and like build this prestige of this title up as the first champion. I'm a big fan of Eric Young as well. And I'm with you, Joel, one of the best elbow drops in the game. And I'm someone who really respects top rope elbow drops. Shout out to the legend, the GOAT, Macho Man Randy Savage, who had the best one of all time. Eric Young does it justice. So, yeah, nothing more I can really add. I expected Macklin to win, and he won, but it was solid for what it was.
Cresta Star, one day they're going to write books about Eric Young and his time in TNA. And one of those chapters is going to be about the time he was on live television. Yeah. and then suddenly brought back to life and comes back as a ghost. And I did an interview with Macklin, and we talked about it. It's recently. You can go check it out. We filmed it in February, but we dropped it this week because we're... Anyway, the point is, the interview exists. Cresta, Eric Young is a ghost. And why is this ghost still haunting Steve Macklin? What are we doing?
At this point, Eric Young is the Phantom of TNA. Forget the Phantom of the Opera. This is the guy in the rafters. Sting is long gone, has moved on to greener pastures, and Eric Young haunts these halls. Also, I want to say that me and SP3 were sports confused at Thursday's Go Home show because Eric Young just pulls up on Steve Macklin, burns his rhyme book, but Macklin walks off, and we didn't see what happened to him. On this show tonight, it's confirmed that Eric Young roofied him. So Eric Young, you were going to roofie this man whether he joined you or not. So I really was into when GM Miller tries to catch up with him backstage before it, and Macklin is just stared into the camera like, what grown man roofies another grown man? I ought to kill you. So I was here for that part. Also, like Eric Young's new intro with the Punisher mask and what was his name from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Jesse?
Casey Jones.
Casey, yeah, like the Casey and the Jason mask. I was here for it. I think at this point, Steve Macklin got to kill Eric Young again. So, because you tried to kill him at the end with the chain, the hanging him. I'm like, damn, this is the same thing Northern Armory literally did to Josh Alexander on his way out. And at this point, Northern Armory has to get out. They have to be barred from ringside or something. And they have to have a rubber match with a dog collar or whatever it is. I don't want to see it. That's going to be bloody. That's gross. Or maybe just hit up Cody Deaner and, you know, ask him how he did it last time. Ask him how. I mean, he didn't do a good job. He came back, but it might be time. Like, Cody Deaner, I might need you one more time. It's the will of the people. The people want this.
Yeah, Deaner's got to ask the people before he does that. By the way, this was Macklin tonight.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That was a pre-match in the interview beforehand. Speaking of Deaner, he tried to join the system on the pre-show, by the way. I didn't mention that, but he wanted to Moose wouldn't have to do the match in place of JDC. Deaner offered up to join the system for the match and they rejected him.
So that's
a system babyface turn. Sorry.
That's pretty funny.
I like Deaner. People just know how I feel about having Cody Deaner as like a centerpiece part of your show in 2025 when he works backstage too. It's just they're funny.
We've done this before.
No,
the design wasn't it. No thanks.
Okay. You just keep going out and saying brother the crowd. Can we stop, please? This is every company, every wrestling company, everywhere. Stop doing celebrities at the show. Come and look at us. We're so important. Please, please, please. I get it. There's a partnership with WWE. I get it. Stop showing all the celebrities every single minute. You're just like, it's this person and this person. And then they got to go back and correct it because they didn't get the right person from the last time. And that was just...
It's giving when in RuPaul's Drag Race, where they have the celebrity judges and no one knows who the celebrity judge is and everyone pretends to be excited, except this crowd did not give a molecular F-U-C-K. This crowd was like, who?
I'm with you. Because, you know, they showed like those brothers and they were like, they have 3 million followers on social media or something like that. And it's like, no one cheered. Like, no one in the building had any idea. I had no idea what they were. I'm not like the BL end all, you know, that just because I don't know who they are doesn't mean they are nobody. But like an entire crowd full of people had no idea who they were either. So...
Same.
So I get it. I've seen the Haroon twins. That's who you were thinking of. Mm. I've seen some of their content pop up on my feeds, both on Facebook and on YouTube. Yeah. Do I use Facebook? Not really. It's like the your family is here, but not too far. So I see it pop up once in a while on shorts. I've seen their stuff. It's mostly, you know what it is? It's the proliferation of I spent X amount of money, ridiculous amount, to go to X WWE show.
Come not me. Me.
But that's the thing. It's like the Haroon twins are one of those creators who do. I spent $50,000 to go to WrestleMania. Come with me. and they're sitting front row, and they're like, you'll never guess what happened. I watched Stone Cold hit this woman with an SUV or an ATV. I wish this was a joke, Cresta. I wish this was a joke. I saw the Haroon Twins repost the video of the one that went all around, the one that got viral, the one where the, she's, anyway, that's how I know them, because they are those content creators. Whether or not you want to associate them with the brand is fine, because I'm sure that putting them on screen is one thing. That doesn't really matter as much as they are going to make content that they are going to push out to their 2 million followers, and those followers are going to see it and think about going to a show down the road. I understand the reason to do it. I just think putting them on the screen over and over and over again, not them specifically, I'm not taking shots of the Haroon Twins, but anyone that they're doing this with, I feel like there's a medium to do this. And I talked about this, not to get too deep into like the WrestleMania stuff, the idea that not everything has to be a sponsored tie-in or a special guest tie-in. Not everything has to be monetized. So
if you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Situation heard, situation said. Falls count anywhere. This is the match. Get super chats in. Get your super chats in. This is the one. This is this show stealer that happened again. But this time, Mike Santana defeats Mustafa Ali. Whew. This was a great, great match from start to finish, because I really, really enjoyed. They gave them the bells and whistles on the entrances too. They didn't do it for the main event. They did it for these two. Ali was walked out by the Svetlana Tulasi Dance Company, Catholic and Bollywood Dance Company of LA. Tom Hannafin couldn't get it right, so I sure as shit did. And they look good and they sounded great. Santana was accompanied by Gilberto Zurdo Ramirez and John Scrappy Ramirez, both boxing champions, not brothers. Again, Tom Hannafin, I'm doing your job better than you. Don't tell him, he'll get angry with me. Homicide gifted a jacket to Santana. I loved that. For those who don't know, Santana and Homicide tagged together in Homicide's final match. So to get that jacket as a gift was a really, really big deal. This match was gnarly. This match was fantastic. I don't want to go beat for beat yet, because I want to let Jensen do this. But now, Jensen, they're 1-1. And I want to say the thing I'm going to say at the end. So go ahead. Talk about this. This was great.
Well, Joel, I don't know if anyone's ever talked about this before in the history of TNA fans or anyone that covers TNA. But Santana might be someone you want to put in the world title mix. I don't know if anyone's ever brought that up before. Listen, I'll let you get to that, because I'm sure that's you want to talk about Santana now that he's won this match. I think both these guys had an incredible match. This match was awesome. Like, this is the type of match where if you have wrestling friends that do not watch TNA, I would have them watch this match. Like, this is one of those type of matches. This was awesome. I can't even honestly, they did so much in this match. Like, there was a 450, like from the top rope to the outside through a table. I mean, Santana, one of my favorite spots was Santana did the superplex off of the steps, the way that they had him upright. I've never seen that before through a table. I mean, there was so much cool stuff in this match. I'm sure Crest has got a bunch of notes. I know y'all were really hyped on this match, so I'll let y'all get into more of the bells and whistles of it. But I really, really enjoyed this match. And I think, I'm a big fan of both guys, so it's not one of those things where it's like, I wanted Ali to lose. But Santana's been on a trajectory for a while to be put in a main event spot. And I know Joel really wants it, and we've talked about it a whole lot, so I'm pretty sold on it also. And I thought, it was like they hit each other with everything. And the way that Santana finally overcame it by, like, he had that barbed wire bat used against him that he introduced to the match, but Ali uses it on him, busts him open, but then he winds up trapping it in his arm, like just takes the pain of it, just eats the pain, and then hits that spin the block for the three count while his face is running blood. Like, it was a good visual. It made Santana look like a badass. And Ali doesn't lose anything in the loss because the match was awesome. And he looked like $1 million also. So, like, I loved everything about this. Crest, I'll throw it back to you.
We as fans won. This match, this was sports entertainment. To quote Reg, this was cinema. There are so many things in this match that I enjoyed. The good hands getting handcuffed to the ropes to hold the steel steps as the brace for that eventual superplex. Smart. Tasha Steeles, again, a quality. Going through that tables. I don't ever feel bad about intergender matches in TNA because I've seen men and women die in TNA. That's just the nature of the game. You go in there, that's it. You're fighting in Oakland, California, the Bronx in 1990. I respect it. That's just what it is. This match, I have to give so much respect to Santana and Ali. Because again, and I want to echo what Steven Jensen said, if you have a friend who's like, well, I don't know if TNA is worth watching, just watch this program. If I gave you all the links to the digital exclusives, the sobrieties, the AAs, the Ali campaigns, and then this match and the match last week, you'd be like, yo, these guys are down here doing some sports entertainment. This was a really good match. I have to give a shout out to that crowd because the match ain't even start. And they were like, tables, 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 tables. And there were so many tables, so many spots. If you are just watching our post show, if you're just hearing the words coming out of my mouth, please find a way, download TNA, find a way to watch this match because this match, this was sports entertainment. This was a WrestleMania match. This could have been on WrestleMania. Nobody would have batted it. I'm like, hey, these guys are hooping. I really like this. I want to see these guys again. I was really impressed with this match. And dare I say, this could have been your main event. This stole the show. This literally stole the show.
As expected. Let's face it. This has been the ace story. This has been the one. This has been what you pay attention to. This is it. My favorite part of this match was actually something that I don't know was supposed to be in there, but it was the crowd wants tables. Ali says, no, no tables. And then as Order 4 start getting involved, they start bringing the tables out. And Ali is stuck having to actually deal with these stupid tables until he's the one sets up a table and he eats shit through it. It's a little story beat that I don't know if it was planned or not. Honestly, given these two, I'll probably give them the benefit of the doubt and they did probably plan for it. But again, they did it with such gusto. And these two guys have that chemistry that we keep talking about, they're going to continue it on. I know I keep going to Santana and Slammiversary, and I'm going to keep going to Santana and Slammiversary, and I'm going to keep saying Ali wins the title between now and Slammiversary. I get that there's a little bit of a short runway at this point because Slammiversary is in July and we are here at the end of April. It is now April 28th. We're next day after the show. So I understand it could be a short run for Ali, but we also don't know how long his deal is with TNA. It could be 6 months. It could be extended. But either way, Santana's the guy. And if he doesn't pick up that title in a place like, oh, I don't know, his hometown of New York in a big arena at Slammiversary, then I feel like we're leaving money on the proverbial table. Santana wins with Spin the Block. He gets his pound of flesh. They're tied at one. The story here, again, if Ali captures that title, he makes Santana's life a living hell. He makes life hell for him. He makes TNA hell for every babyface, and the babyfaces revolt. They're led by Santana, and they overthrow the evil Ali administration. The Order 4 get ousted from TNA. It's an easy story to tell. It's a little close for some people's comfort, but it's a story that absolutely resonates with a lot of people. and I think it's there, and I'd love to see it happen. I'm going to keep banging the drum on that. I'm also going to keep... Go ahead. I was going to segue, but go ahead.
I was going to say that even with that idea, I think that more than in real life, the parallel between them and the system, it would give us an eventual system crash. And I would absolutely love to see Liz versus Tasha Steelz, Good Hands versus JDC or Eddie Edwards. And I think that someone like the Good Hands could absolutely use the rub from a Myers to JDC in Eddie Edwards. And not to say that Lish isn't a good wrestler, but you could really turn them babyface if Tasha Steelz beat the crap out of Lish. You'd be like, hey, okay, all right. I know I wanted to get beat up, but hey, stop. Don't do that. So I think there is a segue there. There is a path. I would hate, as a Joe Hendry stan, I would hate for Joe Hendry to lose the title, but I think that there is an interesting story there if you follow the Ali all the way down.
Well, I don't know if you have anything to add, Jensen.
Oh no, I'm good. You guys covered it all. But I do like the idea of the system, and sorry, I was getting ahead on my notes here. I like the idea of the matchup. So like everyone kind of matches up well, like one versus one tag team versus tag team, if they were to do like Ali's group versus the system and stuff. So I'm with you on all that.
Well, I'm with this. Indy Hartwell has officially announced she signed with TNA Wrestling. She is one of the international signings that we hinted at over at FightfulSelect.com. The best $5.99 in the business. Oh yes, $5.99, and we are prime. I still can't find a good rhyme for that. Well, I got a rhyme. Anyway,
you did three. You're a rapper.
Yes, I've got so much cred now. Anyway, we'll hear from Indy on Hartwell. Wow. We'll hear from Indy Hartwell on Thursday. You might not hear from Cresta and I, though, because the show is airing at 10 p.m. Eastern live. And as much as I love Impact Live, I don't love doing a post show at midnight Eastern when I host a morning show. And I don't think that's going to happen. We'll probably get the notes. We are in a state of flux with TNA. I get it. But we'll come back. Impact Live will be... It'll air anyway. We'll get Indy's thoughts. But I'm very happy to see Indy land in TNA. I think this was a great signing. I don't know if any of y'all have anything to add, because the Knockouts division continues to grow. And I think Independence Hartwell was one of the best people you could have picked up right now.
Is it literally Independence Hartwell?
No, it's just what we call
her. Okay, because somebody made that joke in my Discord, because of course I share wrestling, share the gospel of wrestling with my friends. And like, I'm so glad they changed their name to Independence Hartwell, and I didn't have the nerve to ask. I didn't have the heart.
So this is the safe space where you decide to ask these questions.
Yes. Honestly, you and Steve and Jets would never leave me wrong. And all 172 of our best friends.
Yes. Oh, thank you all for joining us, as always. And yeah, I mean, you expect Indy to land somewhere. So this, it makes sense that going to TNA. In already a really stacked women's the women compete in all the divisions in TNA. So, good addition to the roster. And so what you were saying about them being live on Thursday, are they not doing any kind of tapings like tomorrow or anything until then? It's just a live show on Thursday is the next thing they're doing.
Oh God, I think they're actually taping tomorrow, but how are they going to work that? No, hold
That's
on.
What I'm wondering.
I got to look it up. Yeah, they're live May 1 and 2. So they're doing a live. Okay. So they're live on Thursday and Friday. Sorry. They're live Thursday. And they're taping Friday.
Okay, so no tapings till then or anything. Yeah. Okay.
So you got a weekend, basically. Because it's this Thursday. This Thursday is May 1st.
Right.
Isn't that
weird? I'm so used to them doing like their tapings the next day. Like, right. You know what I mean? For like the next few weeks or the next few months or whatever. I usually read those out on the weekend, or that's actually the main reason I was asking, because I didn't know if I'm gonna be doing the weekend or tomorrow, because I didn't do it today because we were doing this today. But I was going to look out for the TNA spoilers tomorrow. Then I just realized, as you said, that there probably are not going to be TNA spoilers for me to be reading.
Yeah, whatever they do is going to land them all the way till Under Siege, which is here in Toronto, on May 23rd. So the May 1 is going to be live, and then they're going to probably tape some stuff for a week two after that. And then the May 2nd taping is usually going to be another 2 weeks. So that should take them all the way, because they're 3 weeks from
Under Where Siege. Are they filming right now? It's still in California?
Yeah, they're going to be in Irvine tomorrow, or Thursday and Friday.
All right, well.
Nice.
Yep, so on the campus of USC, I think. Anyway, if you're out that way and you want to go get your tickets. I'm not here to shill. TNA Knockouts title time. Masha Slamovic defeats Tessa Blanchard. This was a match a lot of people thought was going to be obvious. And I said on Friday, to myself because I could not speak into a camera or a microphone. I don't think that Tessa's going to win. Hot start. They got into it really quick. It was a quick, dirty in and out, and the crowd didn't really care for this match, to be perfectly honest. They chanted she's a racist to Tessa once again. And then at one point, they started doing Let's Go Cena, Cena sucks.
Yeah.
But also, I shouldn't have been surprised because the crowd just wasn't interested. I'm wondering if that's because the crowd thought that this was an obvious title change. Like, if they just kind of thought this was it, Tessa's going to win. Oh, God, this is stupid, whatever. Or they just didn't care about the match, which is entirely possible. I said it before and I'll say it again. When Masha won the Knockouts Championship, they did it for a reason. They did it by having her beat Jordynne Grace definitively. Jordynne was one of the best knockouts they ever had at the time, possibly ever, you know, up there with the Gail Kims and the Awesome Kongs and all that. But she's up there. They want to give Masha that rub, and they want to give her that pull, and they want to give her everything. And I don't think that putting the title on Tessa was going to help anybody at this point. It just made more sense to keep it with Masha. Masha wins with the armbar. There were a lot of really quick moments. They all hit their moments. Buzzsaw, they hit the, Masha hit the snowplow early. But again, Masha was, you know, she gets the win, she retains. And let's start with Cresta. What do you think of the match overall?
Unbiased opinion. These women were really, really wrestling. I enjoyed Masha's intensity throughout the entire match. Bias opinion. Man, I'm so glad to be wrong, because the way they were forcing Tessa down our throats reminded me of Roman in 2019. Like, you want Tessa. Listen, I know she's a bad guy, but this is what we're going to do. So I'm very glad. I'm happy to be wrong. I think that for as much as a jerk as Tessa was, Masha needed to be as intense as she was. It's also frustrating that your crowd is chanting Let's Go Cena, Cena sucks, and at one point I think they were chanting CM Punk, and that's I get it, but I don't get that. So I hope that we can find some way, for the sake of TNA, to rehabilitate Tessa so people aren't chanting willy-nilly whatever they want, because I feel like it's very distracting from the match at hand. I'm happy for Masha. Let me be clear here. I was dreading a Tessa run, and not just like a Tessa run where like she wins it this week and the next. Tessa was going to be champion. I thought she was going to give us the whole, I'm not going anywhere, I'm not fucking leaving. So I'm very happy with this. I do wonder what we do with Masha now, because the way that they built Tessa was to be this big bad. So who's next? So I had to be like Goldberg, who's next? But you know, what do we do now with Masha, that she's had a really emotionally charged? You need someone who's going to be manipulative. And I don't know if they have a Randy Orton woman on their roster besides Rosemary, who's doing that same gimmick right now, or Zaya Brookside rather.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to be next. I'd imagine it'll probably be someone from NXT. I don't know who, but maybe, do you have any idea, Joel, maybe, or Cresta, who in NXT, I don't follow the weekly NXT show close enough to know who would be like the right women like up kind of next for Masha. I know she's appeared on NXT, Masha has. But you know, as far as that's my prediction. I think it'll be someone in NXT probably next. I'm a huge fan of Masha. She's like legitimately one of my favorite wrestlers in the entire world, regardless of gender. I've been a fan of hers for years. I can't say enough good things about Masha. I think that she, at some point too, like, I don't know what her aspirations are, or what her career trajectory will be, but at some point, if she were in the WWE, for instance, I think she'd be a massive worldwide star. Like, I think she's so good, and she's so unique, and she's so believable. Like, she gets over everywhere in every situation. She's so good. And that's why I feel bad for her in these kind of situations where, like, I obviously Tess is very polarizing. We all know that. It's regardless of kind of anyone's opinion, it's one of those things that, like, it's just not a good look that you're getting you're a racist chants, and like, because it's not just a bad look on the company, it's like a bad look on the people in the ring, because like people don't care about the match because of all this. Masha's having to be in there, like she's like nodding with the crowd, she's like, it looks like she's agreeing with the crowd, like it just seems like it was a bad idea. And I don't want to get into all the nitty-gritty about Tessa and, you know, all that stuff. It's just, it's a loaded topic for a lot of reasons, obviously, but it's one of those things where like I just think TNA needs, they need to figure this out, because like I don't think it's a good idea to go pay-per-view to pay-per-view, show to show, week by week, and one of the women that you're pushing the hardest on your show is getting your racist chance every time she's out there. Like,
yeah, that's rough. I've never seen that in wrestling, and I've said this before, and I don't want to keep beating an old drum. Unfortunately, for a lot of things, racism ain't a deal breaker in professional wrestling. So for people to chant that, yikes. yikes.
So, yeah. So it just, you know, the match itself, if we're talking about just the match, I thought the actual match was pretty solid. Like, it started off where it started off hot, like Joel was saying. Masha hit a dive to the outside, hit a snowplow immediately. But then from there, when Tessa took over, that's when the chants start. That's when the match slows down. That's when all these other chants, not just that she's a racist, the WWE chants that, like, you know, that have nothing to do with the match or the show. And once again, Masha's having to suffer through this too, as this is all going on. And Jordan had to deal with it before this. So it's like, it's going to happen to anyone she's in the ring with. It's just going to keep happening. Once again, I don't know what the solution is. I'm not the decision maker. I'm just saying, from like a fan perspective, it's a very strange look, and like it doesn't seem like there's any way to fix it. And it's a double-edged sword, because if she's a heel, which she currently is, she's leaning into being a heel and trying to get booed, and that's obviously not going to stop the chance. If they try to turn her babyface, the fans are going to revolt against it because they don't want to see her as a babyface, and she's going to get the chance also. So it's like, I don't know how you fix this. But you know, that's what they're going to have to decide. Is it worth it? You know. Yeah. When they brought her back in, I understood it business-wise to a degree. Perception-wise, I thought it was a very risky move. But like to a degree, I understood they were losing Jordynne Grace. They were trying to replace Jordynne Grace with another really talented in-ring female wrestler to kind of pick up where Jordynne left. But like, I don't think TNA predicted. I predicted that they'd get some back. I'd imagine they expected to get some backlash, but I don't think they could have thought it would be a good idea, knowing that like these kind of, you know, I guess I've made my point. You know, it's just, it's a bad look when you have to hear this every time you see somebody. Yeah. And it just, it affects more than just her and the company. And it affects a lot of people when this kind of stuff happens.
Yep. And I will continue to say, if they're not going to address it, then they're going to continue to have this problem. And this is on TNA to continue ignoring it. And therefore, they're hoping that eventually people will move past it. But people like us are not ready or willing to move past something that should be held accountable for. So we'll leave it at that. I don't think we need to go any deeper. And the crowds are going to continue to tell you the same way that they feel. That's just what it comes down to.
Listen, once again, I'll make it very clear. Wrestling-wise, in-ring, match was good. It was a good in-ring match. Like, I'll keep it professional from that degree. Like, Tessa has good matches. She had great matches with Jordynne Grace as well before she left. Like, 1,000%. You know, so I'll keep it real when it comes to that. She's a very, very talented performer. And in sports, there's a lot of really talented performers that I may not agree with in a lot of different ways and stuff like that. And it happens, but it just, it's a giant black cloud. That's like what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you can't ignore it. It's unignorable.
Yeah. The elephant is taking up all the seats in the room at this point.
Yep. It's a very easy fix. And all they got to do is just address the elephant in the room. Again, I've said it before, I've said it again. You want a very easy fix, go somewhere safe, go somewhere prepared, go somewhere where, you know, you can have the conversation, make yourself look good. I don't care what the spin has to be. You put it out there. People can choose to feel the way they do once you say it, and you move on from there, because at least the elephant's addressed and it's done from an overarching standpoint. That's it. Anyway, Masha retains her title. That's what I like to see. As for who's next, hey, sky's the limit. People are saying Natalia in the chat. I love the idea of Natty coming.
I love that idea.
Been saying it for a long time that if she had come out at Slammiversary in Montreal, it would have been electric. Not what they did. They're in the Bay Area, right? Well, not the Bay Area. They're out LA area. They're more NorCal, but you know, Bailey's hurt right now. Hurts, quote unquote. But that would be a fun one. I don't think that's going to be where you go. I will also remember and remind everyone that typically the only two people who have done any sort of main roster crossover have been your current TNA world champion, who we'll get to in a few minutes, and the woman who is currently on NXT signed full-time, and that's Jordynne Grace. So everyone else has been working with NXT talent specifically. So with that, I see Jada Parker in the chat. That's a good shout. Killer Kelly has been out and about with her, you know, with her partner.
I forgot about her. I love her.
Has not wrestled yet. I do not know, and I will not say, because it's not up to me to put it out there. So regardless, if and when she's ready, that's another person to put out there. I'm going to address this once again. No, they did not bury the hatchet. Tessa and Rosa did not bury a hatchet. Rosa said she was done having hate in her heart. She was moved on. There was never an apology. There is nothing to take for what it's worth. It was a photo that was taken, and no one has apologized to anybody. So once again, that is a thing that is out there. Kylan King, when she's ready to come back, is another name that I'd like to see. You could be seeing someone come back at Live Impact, and that would be a big opportunity. Or they could just do JC Jane again, and I would personally love it. Or Indy Hartwell, because she's here. And they could turn her heel, make her a badass Aussie, and she just goes after Masha, and that's how they start her out. It happens. That's what they do sometimes. Let's talk about the tag titles. The Nemeths have captured the TNA World Tag Titles. They defeat the Hardys. Folks, Under Siege is in 3 weeks. It's in Toronto. I hate to tell you this, but Jeff Hardy still can't get into the country. When Jeff Hardy was supposed to have a match at Slammiversary last year in Montreal, they wrote him off TV with 2 weeks to go. So to me, I wasn't surprised, but the Nemeths have won the titles. They have it for now. Is it the best worked match ever? No, but it was good for what these four men do. Thought it was solid. I have to shout out Matt Hardy. You messed up Paige Prinzavalli counts while your brother had the pin.
That was funny. You
that was funny.
You like jumped on the ref. Yeah.
Like bopped on her head. I was like, what are you doing? And then he gets into it with Ryan Nemeth, goes to beat him up. Ryan gets the upper hand, eventually takes him out on a steel chair on the outside. Nick low blows Jeff Hardy, hits a knickknack paddywhack. Ryan gets the pin. We have new tag champions. Toronto's in 3 weeks. Jeff's written off. We'll see what happens with Live Impact. Crest the Star, new tag champions, the Nemeth, the Big Brother.
Honestly, the explanation you gave me made a lot of sense. So it makes sense why we got the Hardy compound match Thursday. Because I was telling SP3, this match was so bad that it went back to good, that this was camp. And I would have paid good money to sit my butt down in that seat to see Jeff Hardy do a Legally Distinct, We Are Unlike They Are. And that was, Will of the Wisp. It was fantastic. It was camp. So for them to lose here, I'm like, all right, it makes sense. I kind of live for the terror. Maybe brother. And also emo Ryan Nemeth. Oh, man. Did you see the Hardy compound match, Joel? Because I know you weren't feeling well. But honestly, that cured my depression.
That was my fever dream.
That's what happens when your fever is 110. You see that match in particular. This match was fine. I don't really have too many notes besides, okay, what do we do with the tag division now? Obviously, we got the system. I feel like it's going to be your starter feud or maybe your middle feud. But I think the tag division, for the men and the women, could use a lot of work. So I'm not upset with the Nemeth brothers taking it. I'm kind of ready for Ryan Nemeth to continue being really astronomically annoying, even more now that he's got a title. So
God bless annoying little brothers. Steven Jensen, I know you're one of them.
Yeah, no, that's well. I'm the oldest of my siblings.
You know how it was,
but right, yeah, man. So I'll start off by saying the Hardy is still incredibly over. They got maybe the biggest pop of the whole night on their entrance, and there's no teaching that. There's no amount of it's just really impressive, the longevity of the Hardys. Like, that's a whole other conversation in itself. Like, yeah, I mean, I was at WrestleMania 33 when they returned to the WWE in Orlando, and that was already almost 10 years ago. And that was one of the biggest pops I've ever been a part of in my entire life. And like, they're still accomplishing, that kind of stuff. Like it's really impressive. So I want to give them their credit on that. They go out there and they still, for the most part, hit like the greatest hits out there, which is really all they need to do. And it's not like they're out there being lazy, like, because their moves still take a lot of toll on their body and stuff. Even on the outside of the ring at one point, Matt Hardy, I think he just hit like a neck breaker on the outside of the ring to Ryan, just like right on the floor. It's like, damn, like he doesn't have to do that. That was rough. And then right after that, Matt takes a back body drop on an open chair. And it's like, damn, dude, like you're still out there doing the stuff that you're expecting to see the Hardy Boys do. So I'm a fan of it. I'm a fan of those guys, you know, doing their thing. And I think it makes a lot of sense for TNA to have them as a part of their show as much as they possibly can and continue to push those guys. The conversation is always going to be had about Jeff Hardy and missed opportunities and is reliable and this and that and places he can and can't go to attend shows and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, if you can get Jeff Hardy on your show, you got to do it. That guy's still a rock star in the wrestling world and trying to be an actual rock star in the music world too. But that said, they marketed this match like it was the two best brother tag teams of all time going one-on-one against each other. And that I thought was very funny because the Nick Nemeth, Ryan Nemeth is the equivalent of like Jose and Ozzy Canseco for baseball fans. Like
I know who those people are.
Okay. Like Jose Canseco hit like 500 home runs in his career. Ozzy might've hit like 30, but combined they have the most, like they're up there on like the brother home run list because like they both played in the MLB. I think I looked it up that there was a season, I think it was 1990, that Jose Canseco hit 37 home runs and Ozzy hit zero, but they combined for like the top 10 brother home runs because they're both brothers in the league. I think y'all can get the comparison I'm making here between Ryan and Nick Nemeth. Listen, Ryan annoys me to no end. I used to cover BTE weekly for years on this. He's like part of the reason that I think BTE is shut down. Like this guy, like this guy was like, I don't know if there's a, wrestler that I relate to less than Nick Nemeth. Sorry, than Ryan Nemeth and like all of wrestling. I don't know for what it's worth. Like I can't with this dude, but he's now one half of the tag team champions with his brother, Nick. And I'm sure this is a great thing for these two guys. Look, I have, my brother is my best friend in the world. I think it'd be super cool to be able to do something like that with him. So I'm sure it's like a bucket list thing for both of these guys. So from that end, I am happy for these two dudes. But you know, the way that they did it, it worked too, because I'm already annoyed by Ryan, and the finish was him basically stealing the win for the team. So he got the pin on Jeff. So like now Ryan Nemeth is going to be running around bragging that he pinned Jeff Hardy. It's going to be like, man, he did, didn't he? And listen, congratulations to those guys. For accomplishing once again what I'd imagine is a lifelong dream for these guys to be able to do this kind of stuff. But I fully expect the Hardys to get those titles back soon.
Yeah. I got another comparison for you, Steven Jensen. It's a sports one. Steph Curry and Seth Curry.
Oh, yeah. That's very comparable. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Yeah. So I've heard some commentators try to talk, like they'll hype up Seth Curry, like he can shoot threes like Steph can, and like other commentators will just shut that down immediately and be like, look, like knock no, it that's, off. Come on. Like they're both in the NBA, but come on now. Yeah, good comparison.
You are going to see, you're definitely going to see the Hardys come back and win it. Absolutely. And once they do, you are going to see Ryan Nemeth try to serve the Hardys with a lawsuit for the way that
happens.
I am going, but you can clip this. If it happens, I'm going back to this day and I'm going to laugh my ass off, because you know what? I hope Ryan's able to laugh at it, because for a little while he got laughed at for the lawsuit stuff. If he's able to turn that around and next thing you know, he's serving the Hardys for the loss of the tag titles, I'd love it. The one thing, by the way, and do not boo Steven Jensen. He's right about the BTE thing. Ryan Nemeth ruined BTE. He's absolutely right. We talked about it. Jensen and I would spend so many Impact nights on Twitch talking about it. It was awful. Now, with that in mind, the one missed opportunity doing the Hardy compound bit, was not having a cream segment.
No, see, that was what killed BTE for me, was that exact stuff. Yeah, that's so bad.
They needed to do a cream therapy segment with Ryan Nemeth. You need to be in a cream bath being shrunk by one of the Hardy kids.
That sounds nasty. The kid's not in the bath.
It's just Ryan's in the cream. But anyway, you need to be there to have seen it and hated it. But the point is, the Nemeths have the titles. They're probably going to face some random team in Toronto, and it's fine. It'll be fun. And they'll do a battle royal or something. Who knows? Or the system will get a tag title shot, and we'll all be like, oh, all right, that's a thing. And then the Hardys will come back and win it at Against All Odds or Slammiversary in a multi-man match. Again, if this happens and you clip it, just put it out to the world. TNA World title time. We're at the finish. Get your Humper Chats in. Get your Super Chats in. C. Delgado at Sendo and said, good show. Happy Masha won. Strap the rocket to Santana. Could not agree more. I am all about it. And also, Cyclops better than Wolverine gets us into our TNA World title talk. Even with a quote-unquote buried champ, TNA put on a good show. So, we'll talk about it. Joe Hendry retains tonight over NXT's Ethan Page and Frankie Kazarian. Kazarian calls a shot. He's now 4-6, or he's not, but the Call Your Shot winner is now 4-6 instead of 4-5. And the match was okay. It was a very, almost like a WWE main event 2010 style match. Wasn't bad. Wasn't amazing. I thought that the guys hit their moves. I do appreciate Frankie Kazarian, you know, giving some props to Christopher Daniels and doing the Angel's Wings. Hendry's using the Olympic Slam, not at Kurt Angle, because Macklin didn't use it tonight. So,
That's true.
Hendry powering out of the chicken wing from Kazarian, hitting the AA through a table. A little nod to his boy John Cena that he wants. And Paige uses the title belt, gets Cutter onto it. It's a near fall, but the fall away slam, standing ovation. Hendry retains, but the big story here, Trick Williams from NXT lays out Joe Hendry to end the night. So we're going to go to Trick and Joe. I just don't know when that's going to be. Steven Jensen, the main event. Joe Hendry retains. Was the champion buried again?
No. And I don't consider Joe Hendry at WrestleMania to be a burial for what it's worth either. That was a position that was a complete, like, almost like a make good in a certain way, because Hendry had opportunities taken from him where he was going to be involved in WWE programming, and the opportunity just kind of arose at the perfect time where it's like Randy Orton needs an opponent. This works. And once again, I get that he lost quickly in that match. He basically got squashed in that match, but so many more people know that he exists now. And by that same token, also may have been interested in TNA tonight that might not have been previously and stuff. It's, you know, at the very least, the person who holds the championship carried that title belt down the ramp at WrestleMania into a WWE ring and in front of millions of new eyes. So I don't consider that a loss, or sorry, I don't consider it like a squash, really, or like a burial. It was a squash, but it wasn't a burial, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And also, you know, Joe Hendry's been calling out John Cena on social media for a long time. He had an attitude adjustment through a table during this match on the outside, which I caught that also. You know, I wasn't surprised that Hendry retained. You know, once again, we talked about it at the start of the show, but considering what I just mentioned with Hendry's buzz right now, I wouldn't expect him to take the title off of him. I thought Ethan Page looked good in the match. At one point, he hit like a, it was like a running power slam, but he like knocked over the other guy while he was hitting it. Like there was some really good spots in this one. And Kazarian, I said it before, like he just looked like a doofus. Like, call your shot, more like airball your shot. Am I right? Because this guy, I mean, dude, how are you gonna, like, you have an open to do it. You have your challenge whenever you want. You can do it whenever you want. And you're gonna pick to be in a triple threat match where you don't even have a say in the finish of this thing to lose.
Okay. You're right. Now I'm going to push back. Frankie Kazarian's character is one that has absolutely zero self-awareness, is incredibly egomaniacal, and they were in his home state. They were in, well, technically they were in LA or LA County, mm-hmm. which is where Frankie's from. So for him, he was trying to call a shot in like the most egomaniacal way possible, and it blew up in his face like a heel should. I understood why they did it, but I also completely understand your vision of it, because technically Kazarian should be using the cup to call a shot after someone gets beat up. But instead he called it because he wanted he had a prize in his mind that just didn't come to fruition.
Right. Now, like in a logical situation, which I know this is wrestling. I'm not like getting mad about this. I'm just saying this would be, you know, Kazarian calls a shot and lets everyone know he's going to leave the show as champion, but he's not a part of the match. Trick Williams comes out and lays out Joe Hendry after he retains, and now all of a sudden he's down and out, and Kazarian has this title shot ready to go. And now, that all said, I need to make it very clear. I think it would have been a really bad idea to put the TNA World title on Frank Kazarian. Similarly to, I thought it wouldn't have been a good idea to put the AEW World title on Christian either. I thought they were going to pickle with both of these scenarios, with both of them basically having, I thought like the wrong guy had the title opportunities in both of those scenarios. So I didn't want to see Kazarian become the TNA champion, to be completely honest. So I'm kind of glad that they got this thing off of him, so it's like not lingering anymore. You don't have to like worry about him popping up out of nowhere and like getting involved or whatever. Ethan Page's right into this match was that he had beaten Hendry. Was it? Is that like, yeah. Is that how he got in basically?
They had a match at No Mercy and Ethan Page beat. That's what it was. Joe Hendry.
That's what it was. So, but nonetheless, I think Joe Hendry was the right guy to retain. I thought the match was very solid. I enjoyed the main event. And I liked that a lot of these matches were either like a falls count anywhere or like hardcore type element. There was a lot of chairs, a lot of tables, ladders. Yeah. Oh, not ladders. Did we see ladders tonight? We didn't see ladders.
No ladders.
Ultimate X, but that was similar.
Think about
But we saw a bunch of weapons. We saw a whole bunch of cool stuff. And I thought it added to the matches and made the night overall really, really enjoyable all the way through the main event, which that was a tough spot to be in too. Cause like anything after that Santana and Ali match was in an uphill battle of like having to try to match that energy to any degree. And I think by the time they got to the main event, they're 10 matches in, the fans still were singing along for Joe Hendry. They still put on a banger of a match, and then they're setting up, you know, Trick Williams as the next contender for Hendry. So, well done by TNA, in my opinion.
Cresta, what did your cat think of this match?
She was meowing for food during this match, so she was not a fan. But I personally liked the trios aspect of this match, how every man interacted with each other at the same time. I really dug that. To Steven Jensen's point, I was racking my brain about what are they going to do here in this situation? I don't think Ethan Page should have won here. I don't see the value for that for either man. They have good chemistry, Joe and Ethan Page. I seriously thought for one moment that Kaz was going to win here because somebody said it in chat, but they also were saying it on commentary that this is the one title in TNA that Kaz has never won. And with all this talk about Santana, and I think we're all in agreement that Santana is next up, I think that by not doing certain decisions earlier for Joe Hendry, you're now in a bind now where Mike Santana is reasonably and objectively next up. So when Joe Hendry could have had a longer run so people won't feel so bad about him dropping it now, it's like, well, he kind of just got it maybe now for a couple of months. Somebody else had it before. Nemeth had it before. Moose had it before. But he should have had it before then. So now when it's time for Santana, you can say, okay, you can drop it to Kaz. Everyone's mad, but it's Kaz. We love Kaz and TNA, kind of sort of boo him, whatever it is. And then if he gets beat up by Mike Santana or by Mustafa Ali, no one would feel bad. We'd be like, damn, Kaz, but at least you got your title. And Mustafa, you're a jerk now. How do you lose to Santana and then get the title? I thought that's where my mind was going. I would hate for that to happen to Joe Hendry. Let me be clear here. I'm a Joe Hendry stan. But now we're back in the catch-22 of, do you have Mike Santana beat up Joe Hendry? I don't want to see that. But maybe I might be in the minority here because Mike Santana is inevitable at this point. This match was great. This match was good, but now I'm back at the, what do we do next for Joe? Trick Williams is nice. I like Trick Williams. I think Trick Williams would be someone who will give Joe a stiff, tough match, but I hate to be that guy too. I'm also of the mind that, well, Joe's going to WWE anyway, and y'all kind of booking his championship like that, so.
Shawn Michaels, who has 98% of wrestling media blocked on Twitter, He invited Joe Hendry to show up on Tuesday to come to NXT and settle the issue with Trick. So there you go. We'll see.
I'm gonna see if I'm blocked. Hold on.
All right, go check it out, because I'm telling you right now, he's blocked most of us. I don't know why. Couldn't tell you. You run a mega blocker, and all of a sudden, you're just the worst person in the world. Sean also doesn't run his own Twitter. Sorry, I just completely ruined your life. But anyway, Joe Hendry might be on Tuesday's NXT. Him and Trick are going to do the thing. Who knows? Maybe on the live NXT or the live Impact, you might see Trick versus Joe on the show. That might be a thing that we see. But overall, I thought the show... Rebellion was good. I don't think it was the most amazing pay-per-view they've ever put on, but I think it was solid. I think that was one of the better offerings for pay-per-view. They're going to be at Under Siege in 3 weeks. We're going to be around, as we always are. Let's tell them where and why and how and all the other stuff. Jensen, start us off. Plug your stuff.
Yes. Thank you once again for joining us here on the show. Always love doing these pay-per-view reviews for TNA. this past Friday, just a few days ago, I was live at 1FW in the Atlanta, Georgia area. It was a fun show. The results are up on Fightful.com for people who want to kind of know what's going down on that show. And I will talk about that more tomorrow. Excuse me. Tomorrow, I'll be uploading the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. For anyone who doesn't know what that show is, I've been doing it for over 6 years now for Fightful Select. I cover the world of indie professional wrestling. And normally, it's uploaded on either Sundays or Mondays, just... you know, depending on, you know, tonight, obviously we're busy doing this, it's going up on Monday, but just keep a lookout over there on FightfulSelect.com. And I'll be covering like probably 10 or so independent promotions over there. I do that every week. Also, if you want to check out more of my stuff over on Fightful Overbooked, myself and Jeremy Lambert do the Spotlight, where we talk WWE, AEW, indies, everything in between. We interview people on that show as well. This Thursday live, we'll be joined by the new Black Label Pro champion Joshua Bishop. He's coming back on, one of our favorite guests, good dude, intimidating dude, funny dude. So if you want to hear from Josh Bishop, he also wrestled Zilitha too at the Fourth Rope show over Mania weekend and stuff. So looking forward to catching up with Joshua Bishop on Thursday. That's every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time on Fightful Overbooked. And that's everything I have going on. You can follow me on Twitter at or X at @FightTalk_Cresta. Plug all your stuff as well.
Police report, I am not blocked by Mr. Hickenbottom, so we up, boys. I survived. I don't have too much going on, except my birthday is this Friday coming up. So I will accept sports entertainment in the form of what's your favorite wrestling match, and you can send that to me over on X Cresta V Star or on Blue Sky, where it's Cresta Star, the Blue Sky. Just have to search it. I have Instagram. I've got... YouTube. My podcast is on hiatus because I'm a jabroni and it's just one person, me by myself, betrayed by the country I love. Besides that, I'm here every Thursday and Saturday on Fightful talking about TNA with Joe Pearl typically, and on Saturdays it's myself and Rick and Ridian going over AEW Collision. That's all I got. Peace, love, and hair grease. Your butt looks nice. I hope you find $20 on the floor. Joe Pearl, where can the people find you?
Happy birthday, Cresta. Happy birthday, Cresta. Everyone say happy birthday to Cresta in the chat.
Yeah, leave a comment with a happy birthday to Cresta. Where's my $20?
Come on, good fella. And me and The Rock, the final ball. I'm the real...
in your veins.
Goosebumps. No, you're going to have to go on McAfee in a few hours and just tell him about how you didn't ruin WrestleMania.
Yo, I'm going to go on Mac and be like, you know who screwed WrestleMania? WrestleMania screwed WrestleMania.
Nope, that guy we don't talk about either, unless it's a Hall of Fame ceremony at 3 in the morning. Anyway, we've all stumbled over our plugs, so I'm going to finish it off. Ladies and gentlemen, I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L, over on Blue Sky. I am thejoelpearl.com. And also, you can find me on Thursdays with Cresta Star talking about the TNA Impact post-show. Will we be live this Thursday? I doubt it, because it'll be a midnight start, and I am a tired boy. Look at us now, and it's almost 1 a.m. Eastern. So we'll maybe take that one off. Instead, we'll talk about it another time. I'm also in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The show's 5 days a week, but I host it Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays with Jeremy Lambert. SP3 does Tuesdays and Thursdays. See, I did it. Stumbled over it. 10 a.m. Eastern is when they start. That's over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked. Go and subscribe right now. And there you go. Leave a comment. Drop a thumbs up. Do all the things. We appreciate you stopping by, and go subscribe to Fightful Select. So for Cresta, for Jensen, ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.